Quest of the Sugaru. Episode 2.6, The Wild Card. We circle the planet Aqueous and find a concrete landing lot in the middle of a forest. As we descend the atmosphere, a group of guards march to the landing pad below us. I point out the welcoming committee.
Ben, what's going on?
Keep calm. It's normal procedure on this planet.
Ben lands the ship.
I'm sorry, it's hard to stay calm, you know. The last time someone had a gun pointed at me, I was literally fighting for my life.
He lowers the ship's ramp.
You're fine. Just breathe and follow my lead. Remember, you're not registered here. You can't get registered on Aqueous until you've visited 3 times with no issues. You aren't allowed to enter Aqueous without registration unless escorted by a registered person. In your case, I will be your escort. If, as an unregistered person, you're found running around without me, they'll toss you in jail to await trial. And they'll probably toss me in jail too. Do you understand?
I nod. Yes, intergalactic police trouble is the last thing I need. On the ground of the warm, humid planet, I'm reminded of a rainforest seething with life. We walk to the awaiting armed guards, and Ben shakes hands with the highest-ranking man.
Good evening, Lufkin. Long time no see.
Ben smiles. Lufkin puts his arm on Ben's shoulder and escorts him to the guard shack, leaving me with the other 2 guards to be escorted by gunpoint. My mind wanders to a dark place. A sickening feeling ripens deep in my stomach. Did Ben betray me again? I don't trust him. My heart batters my chest. My blood thrashes through my veins. Sweat beads on my head. I clench my fist and prepare for a fight. We enter the tiny guard shack and the air conditioning hits my overheated head, cooling my intentions. The cold calms my nerves, thrusting me back to reality. The environment inside the building is a simple registrar's office, full of neutral bureaucrats working through their day. It's like being in a futuristic BMV. Across the room, Ben sits at a desk, joking casually with the man he called Lutkin. I breathe in the normalcy of the moment. Relieved by the casualness, my blood pressure drops, almost too quickly, spinning my head. They escort me to a desk with a tablet bracketed to the top. The screen of the tablet reads,
"Welcome to Aqueous."
Under the banner headline is a loose drawing of a mermaid holding a triton.
Audie.
Ben taps me.
Are you okay?
I nod, though I'm not positive I am okay. He sits in the second chair beside me. After a moment, one of the guards sits across from us and smiles.
Welcome to Aqueous. I'm Agent Myro. We have a few simple procedures before you enter our planet. It'll be quick. If you pass the screening, you'll be permitted to enjoy our beautiful beaches and vibrant nightlife.
She winks.
Can I see your bag, please?
She takes my bag and shuffles through it. She doesn't take anything, just inventory of my things on her tablet. She reaches across the desk and taps the screen in front of me.
Place your palms on the scanner.
I place my hands on the scanner. A light scans my hands and then pricks the side of my palm, drawing a dot of blood. Agent Myro reads the computer.
You're unregistered.
She opens a cabinet and brings out an electronic tracking bracelet.
You're to wear this bracelet at all times.
She looks at Ben.
Captain Rokan, you know the rules. As the registered one, you have to keep him out of trouble.
Ben slaps my arm.
I know how it goes. If he's in trouble, I'm in trouble.
Myro programs the bracelet.
Your first visit here, you have to wear the tracker. The second trip, you may visit without a tracker as long as you have a guide. The third visit, you may walk about on your own for a probationary run. If all visits end well, you will be registered and given traveler's perks. Our visitors with perks are granted access to all the benefits our citizens enjoy.
She wraps the bracelet on my wrist, clicking it in place. She taps the bracelet.
How does it feel?
I rub my wrist. It feels tight and invasive. She loosens the bracelet.
Is that better?
I guess it has to be, doesn't it?
I pout to myself. Ugh. Ben slaps the back of my head.
Oh, God, quit bitching. We won't be here long. They take it off when you leave.
Myro chuckles and activates my wristband.
Enjoy your trip on Aqueous.
We exit the shack and I punch Ben in the arm.
Ow!
Don't slap me, you asshole.
Then quit complaining. Be glad you're here.
I rub the pinprick on the side of my hand. She didn't ask for my name or any other information.
No need to. You're labeled by the government with your DNA profile, which is super accurate, you know? It's your DNA.
That's scary.
That bracelet tracks you down to the square foot radius, and it's linked to your hand, unable to be removed by anyone but them.
I examine the shiny black bracelet.
Well, that's frightening, and also explains why it hurt so much when she put my bracelet on.
We walk down a few blocks to an apartment building. As we enter the elevator, Ben decides it's a good time to reveal something to me.
Audie, you may be a little shocked when you meet her. She's the original.
What do you mean?
Oh, you'll see.
Ben giggles like he's holding a juicy piece of gossip.
But seriously, the two of you, although she looks like Abby, are a little different. Abby's younger and more ladylike, if you know what I mean.
I shrug.
I don't know, vaguely.
The elevator doors open, and we walk to Ash's apartment.
Open up, Ash!
Ben knocks and whispers to me.
Oh, she's not gonna be happy to see us. Especially you.
Lovely.
The door opens. Ben, what the hell are you doing here? Ash opens the door further and points at me. More importantly, what the hell is he doing here? I can't believe my eyes. Ash looks exactly like an even stormier version of Abby. I now see what Ben meant in the elevator. Ash's life has been scraped across her soul and worn on her angry face. This piece of the puzzle brings to light new befuddlements.
Watch out.
Ben pushes past Ash into her apartment.
Travis is dead. Abby is dead. Audie is all we have left.
Ash grabs me by the shirt and drags me into the apartment, slamming the door shut.
So where's Abby?
She closes her eyes to think.
From what I can gather,
Ben tries to explain the circumstances.
One of the dupes fell in love with Abby. Travis responded to a distress signal sent from the E-Manny. You accidentally left behind. The dupe kidnapped Abby, and... Ugh.
He tries to unravel this interdimensional knot. So where's Abby? Ash raises an eyebrow.
Well, I told you, she was killed too.
What do you mean?
I mean Abby was shot and her shell was burned, while Audie was alive.
Ash's face scrunches with anger. But why is he here, Ben? You're gonna lead them right to me. Wait a second. Show me your ass.
Seriously? Right now?
Now!
Ugh.
Prove you're not a dupe.
You are ridiculous.
He turns around so I can't see it and drops his pants, showing Ash his butt.
Here.
Okay, you're you. She's relieved. Pull him up.
I'm sorry, Ash. Someone's already found you. Poor Abby. She never had a chance. And now Abby has looped into Audie's shell. And you can see the results.
So Abby is also Audie. Interesting twist to my plan, I guess. Ash tosses her head with a smile. That will have to do for now, I suppose. Since Abby's dead, maybe the heat will be off me for a while. She looks at me. Do you have my E-Manny now? I show her my wrist with the E-Manny. Good, hold on to it for a minute. You're gonna need it.
I don't think Abby got her cube before they burnt her shell.
Ash's face turns red.
Fuck! What the hell is going on?
Ash points to Ben with an open palm. Well, Benny here doesn't know how to follow fucking directions. Ben defends himself.
Plans go wrong, and this plan went terribly wrong.
Hello?
I return the attention to me.
What kind of fucked up situation am I caught up in here?
My confidence builds as I confront my creator.
I'm a clone with no real memories. I've been caught up in some of the most incomprehensible clusterfucks. Been killed over and over again, and I still don't know what the hell is going on.
I pace the room.
I've been left at the whim of some of the most malcontent and irrational fuckers of all time. No offense, Ben.
I happen to concur. Pray continue, good sir.
And now I meet you, Ash, the great creator, or the selfish ass bitch who's been playing puppet master from a distant cozy planet.
I fight the tears bubbling up.
Meanwhile, I'm caught up in your waking nightmare. So what the hell happens now?
Ash walks to me and coddles my shoulders. I'm sorry, you deserve to know the truth. No, I didn't put that much thought into the clone's quality of life end of my plan. I don't know why. I assumed Abby and Audie would live without ever knowing any different. I thought they would just live their lives.
The truth always comes out. Not that it makes a difference now, since the cubes are missing.
Ash bites her lip. Thanks, Ben. I appreciate your rubbing that in. She turns back to me. I really thought things would go way more seamlessly.
You know, your plan almost worked. Till the Octan found Abby.
Why was Abby in the past in the first place?
Because of Max.
Who the hell is Max?
The Octan, I assume, hired him or something. I don't know.
Ash nods. I was careful. I went so far as to plant the baby clones far enough apart in years and miles so that they would never meet.
I needed to ensure that no one could take the energy in its entirety except me.
The Octad started it by dampening down your energy and planting it on Earth to track.
Yes, and that. Thanks again, Ben. Yet another comment which is more irritating than helpful.
Sorry.
She continues, to avoid my punishment, I came up with this plan. With the help of Ben and our offspring, our daughter Katie had developed the most comprehensive cloning technique in Hedwyn history, making the most genuine clones ever known. Before her research, most clones were robotic and slow due to the artificial cybernetic energy required to bring the shells to life. They acted more like Travis, the robot. The Octad found and stole Katie's research, and then began using it against us. They created a small army of dupes to try and fool me. As far as the clones are concerned, I gave Abby the majority of the energy, so she'd be the one trapped on primitive Earth instead of me. Meanwhile, in the past, Audie kept a small piece warm for me, incognito.
Your plan was selfish. How were you planning to get your energy back, exactly?
She rolls her eyes with cockiness. You were only supposed to loop naturally until you died, and then I absorbed the tree. After the tree matured, that is. The cubes Travis delivered were to boost the energy. The plan was disrupted when the fucking Nazis burned Abby's shell, apparently. And that's all you need to know right now. Ben rolls his eyes.
It was nice of you to leave the man's life dangling in an intense cliffhanger.
Fuck off, Ben. She extends him her middle finger.
Whatever, Ash. You're just mad because Audie was the one who survived instead of Abby. Abby is gone, cremated by the Nazis, putting a wrench in your perfect little cogs.
Ash clenches her teeth.
Ugh, I didn't think I had to worry about the shell being burned, Benny.
Abby and Audie were supposed to be in hiding, far apart from each other.
Someone already destroyed part of your plan. So, what's to stop them from completely destroying your plan?
The cubes. If the clones absorb their cubes, we can take the energy back in whole. Ash looks toward me. Do you remember anything about Audie's cube? I look deep into my subconscious.
Nothing.
Oh my god.
She closes her eyes and rubs the bridge of her nose. Please tell me at least Abby absorbed her cube.
Yeah, she had a cube.
I confess.
But Ben, or his dupe, stole it.
Ben is silent.
Fuck, Benny! We need those damn cubes!
I can't help but the dupe got it!
She slugs him in the arm.
Oof, my energy was in there!
Well, like it or not, they did.
He massages his new bruise.
How was I supposed to know what happened? I literally just got there. Ugh, you're impossible.
The room stays stale for a moment while the news sinks in.
Okay, let's look at the situation.
Ben spires his fingers in thought.
Zuguru wood is the sturdiest element known. It's also the deadliest. If the wrong person touches the Zuguru wood, they will be disintegrated. To avoid unnecessary harm, we had the cubes dipped in a special molten glass, putting a protective coating on it, making it easier to transport, which backfired, and now anyone can take it.
I know. Any new news? Ben continues, despite her attitude.
The glass serves a dual purpose. It also makes it so that the wood cannot root in the ground unless you break the glass. Do you think that the dupe knows about this? What if he planted it like the Octad did?
Ash's eyes widen. If he plants just one of those cubes, it would be bad. They will grow quickly into Zugurus. Then we will have to wait for three trees to mature. I cannot win against three Zuguru. One is enough to drain my energy for a long time, assuming I even win and obtain the energy. If I don't, everyone's fucked. Now, if the dupe did bury it, you have to find it before it roots. Her voice drops to a deep, punishing tone.
You botched this, Benny.
Me? This was your bright idea!
He pulls his hair in frustration. You're hardly innocent, Ben, but I have an idea about how to find the cubes. She looks to me. You say you don't remember Audie's life, so you wouldn't remember if he received the cube?
No, I don't think so. We don't know where Audie's cube is, Ash. If we did, I would recommend you absorb it, because you need it!
What's that supposed to mean, Ben? Ash gets into Ben's face like she wants to fight.
It means, Ashna...
Ben backs away from her.
...that you lack personality. This guy, right here, acts more like you than you do. In fact, I think you put too much of you in the others, and didn't save enough you for yourself.
Ash slaps Ben hard across the face. If he is more like me than me, she blinks back embarrassed tears. Then let him perform hept. She marches into the kitchenette. Ben rubs his embarrassed face.
I deserved that.
I pat him on the back.
Yep, you did. Ugh, so now what's HEPT? HEPT, H-E-A-P-T, is an acronym. Hedwyn Hallucination Astral Projection Technique.
Oh god.
Yeah, that's why it's an acronym. It's used to project yourself into the past.
He runs his fingers through his hair.
Ugh.
He walks to Ash.
HEPT, really? Really, Ash?
Hept is a level 5 headwind elucidation. Audie barely knows what an energy is, let alone how to use one.
Ash bites her lip and thinks, well, since he's not Abby, I don't know if it'll work, but he has to try. We need Abby's cube. Ideally, Audie will absorb his own cube as well.
Oh, Audie's cube.
Ben rolls his eyes.
That'll be fun to find.
Congratulations, Audie. You surprised me by surviving the war. Looks like Destiny dealt us a wild card. She salutes me. Don't let me down, Doc. I return the salute.
Yes, ma'am.